Welcome to Interviews for Resistance. Since election night 2016, the streets of the U.S. have rung with resistance. People all over the country have woken up with the conviction that they must do something to fight inequality in all its forms. But many are wondering what it is they can do. In this series, we'll be talking with experienced organizers, troublemakers, and thinkers who have been doing the hard work of fighting for a long time. They'll be sharing their insights on what works, what doesn't, what has changed, and what is still the same. I am Sarah Jaffe, your host.
Hi, Angel Padilla, Policy Director at Indivisible.
So this week the Republicans are going to try to ruin all of our lives. So you guys have a guide out on action for this week. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, and actually I think it's more than just this week. It's the next 3 weeks is what we're hearing. Is that the key weeks here for stopping this terrible Trump care bill from getting through the Senate? We put out a guide for our groups that's, you know, instructing and suggesting tactics that they can use to stop this bill from getting to the Senate. And we really do think that the Senate is the last line of defense here. And if it gets through the Senate, then there's little hope of stopping this bill. So this is why stopping it in the Senate is super important.
What are some of the tactics that you guys are recommending?
Yeah, so I mean, we're at a point now where we really just can't hold back. So we're, you know, in this guide, we have suggestions like, you know, letters to the editor and nonstop calls. We need to be calling every day to make sure that that Senate offices are hearing about this bill and how people don't want it. We're also including, for the first time in one of our more recent toolkits, is asking that people consider doing sit-ins. It's in our original guide we have instructions there for how to hold a sit-in, and we feel that this is one of those moments when we really have to do everything we can, and sit-ins is one of those things that that constituents, that groups can do to make it clear to senators that we are not okay with them trying to take away people's health care.
So reports today came out that they are not even going to release anything right now, which obviously seems like a deliberate strategy to keep people from getting fired up about it. Do you think that that's working, or are people sort of reacting to this anyway? And is that in itself the refusal to release it getting people more angry?
So I think it's, look, there's plenty of reasons to be angry about this bill. If they release it, then we all see exactly how bad it is, right? We know, we'll see that, you know, millions of people are going to lose their health coverage. But it's also very telling that they don't want to release it, and you're right. It's because they know that it's really bad, and they're hoping to tamp down some of the opposition. But honestly, when we're talking about a sixth of the U.S. economy, when we're talking about millions of people who might lose their coverage, the fact that they don't want to release it is a terrible thing, which is why we're asking that there really shouldn't be any kind of Senate. The Senate is, you know, Democrats have tools available to them that they're not using. And until we get public hearings, we don't think anything should be happening in the Senate. It should be, Democrats should slow this down as much as they can. And again, it's the American public deserve a transparent process. They deserve to hear and to know how this bill will affect them.
And so you're recommending that people call Democratic senators and insist they do something about this.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, as we've all seen, when constituents go down to town halls and they get in front of their member and they tell them about how passionately they don't want to see this bill become law, that's the same kind of passion that we also want from Democrats. It's not enough to say that you'll vote to repeal, that you'll vote against the Trump care bill. It's not enough to say that you oppose it. You need to do more. And they do have certain tools available to them that they're not using, and we don't think that's acceptable. Not when people's lives are on the line.
And of course, the last Senate recess, there were, I believe, no town halls held by senators.
Yeah, I mean, so Republican senators are hiding from their constituents. They're afraid of facing them because they know that they are pushing this bad bill that's going to harm them. It's a bill that is literally going to harm thousands and thousands of their own constituents, you know, and they're doing it simply because they want to give Donald Trump a win. And that's why they're hiding. That's why we have to bring the fight to them. I mean, they are hiding, but you know, constituents can go down to regional offices and they can make their voices heard. They can have sit-ins. They can keep calling. They are, even if they're not willing to meet with their constituents, they are paying attention. They know that people don't want it. And the only way we're going to stop this bill is if they really get the sense of how widely opposed this bill is. And that's the truth.
It seems like in the news in the last couple of weeks, there, I mean, there's obviously kind of a ton of things coming out of this administration every day, even though they have not been able to succeed in passing much or doing much. So has it been hard with the Comey mania and now with the potential Sessions testimony to get people to focus back on this?
Yeah, and so it was a problem for us too. I mean, look, we changed our position now. You know, we had been calling for an independent commission to go along with the independent counsel. Now we are pushing for impeachment hearings because we think that Donald Trump has done enough, has committed enough of a violation that it warrants impeachment hearings. We're there. And I think a lot of our groups were already there weeks ago. But now I think we, you know, that's a process that would play out over the course of months and maybe even longer than a year. For now, the thing that is most important is defending the ACA. And even though Sessions is testifying tomorrow, the only thing people should be talking about right now is ACA. That is the thing that matters.
And certainly Mike Pence would happily sign ACA repeal.
Yes, definitely.
And certainly Paul Ryan. What if we get that far down the chain?
I know. No, I was going to say, this is the moment. I mean, this is a do or die moment. That's what it says in our toolkit. Because this is really it. In January, when Trump took office, you know, a lot of groups thought that the House was going to easily pass a bill and the fight was going to really be in the Senate. Luckily, because of all the constituents that came out, we slowed it down in the House and we almost won it. We almost killed it four times in the House. You know, it had to get pulled or delayed a number of times. But now we are where we thought we would be, which is in the Senate, and this is where we need to stop it. And if we can't stop it here in the Senate, then it's going to be really hard to stop it at all.
So we know we were talking about the need to call everybody, but are there particular targets or there particular people that you think Republican votes that you think you can flip from this?
Yeah, so we actually just created a new website. It's called TrumpCare10.org, where we have the 10 states that matter the most. And to be clear, I mean, I think the most important message that Republicans need to see and hear is that there is widespread national opposition to this bill. And again, there is. Like, no one wants this bill. So it doesn't matter if you're in California or if you're in Alabama. You should be out there telling your senators that you do not want this bill. But we do have these, 10 states where we really do think that we can apply a little bit more pressure. And I think the biggest ones are Alaska, West Virginia, and Maine. But we also have Nevada, Arizona, Colorado, Ohio, Pennsylvania. All of these places are important in this fight, and they're going to make the difference.
Indivisible has been around now for a while. Well, how is it going? Are people still forming new groups? Where are things at?
Yeah, so we do have new groups every day. I think we get another few groups that join. We're over 6,000, and actually some of these we were at 7,000, but the number went down a little bit because we realized, or some of these groups ended up consolidating, joining forces locally. But no, we it's actually our 6-month anniversary this Wednesday. Groups are still mobilized, people are still activated, and now we have a few more staff people that we can use to provide more resources to the group. But the excitement is still there, and I think what all of these groups, the main thing on their mind is still ACA. That's what gets them out to town halls, and that's what they're focused on now.
Yeah, great. How do people keep up with you and find their local Indivisible group?
Yeah, so if they go to indivisibleguide.com, we have a directory where people can type in their zip code and then find their local group. And we know that there's a local group near them because there's at least two in every congressional district, and an average of 13 in every congressional district. But if for any, we're everywhere. If any reason there isn't a group nearby, if there's some issue, you can always just start your own.
Interviews for Resistance is a project of Sarah Jaffe with assistance from Laura Faillebois and support from the Nation Institute. You can find more information at necessarytrouble.org. Thanks for listening.